Mike Poster takes a very quick look at the status of the public library under late capitalist policies. It considers some structural forms of organization that would support and develop the more human-centric forms of capitalism imbued in the public library system, securing and fostering the institution's importance in society. When we think about capital, countries are typically only concerned with financial and material capital, as this is what primarily accounts for our GDP, although this has started to change recently since the 2008 financial crisis. When we think of tasks like parenting, cooking, cleaning, nurturing children, preserving the environment, or attending spiritual sessions, these are all forms of unpaid labor that capitalism doesn't value because there is no market exchange. But these are acts that take up a majority of our time and daily lives. They are important forms of capital, ones more geared towards livelihood. When we begin to think about responsible capitalism, we can start to re-engineer how businesses and organizations are structured, where profit margins are not the sole goal and other forms of capitalism are preserved and enhanced. Public libraries hold a special spot within contemporary society, but even they have become victims of a shift in capitalism, all too often viewed as unnecessary expenses which hinder the need for increased profits. As such, libraries are shifting from public service organizations to business and profit models that lead to the destruction of public space. As free sites, both physically and virtually, offering free services to many people, they generally stand in opposition to capitalist modes of production, like privatization. And yet, they hold vast amounts of invaluable capital, like cultural, intellectual, social, and spiritual. Here, we can look to feminist forms of bureaucracy to preserve and foster the values of public libraries in their capacities for other forms of capital not accounted for in the GDP. Not only in the materials and content they lend, but in the non-commercial model they embody, in the commons that they represent, a public area that offers all people liberated intellectual spaces and the potential for community dialogues and organizing. As stated already in class, libraries can be very bureaucratic places to work. The bureaucratic feature that makes feminists most uneasy concerns power. That is, a hierarchy of authority that gives some members power over others. For many, a hierarchical structure is seen as undemocratic and disempowering for all but a few. Many feminist organizations rejecting bureaucracy have adopted rotational job systems, flattened or horizontal systems of paid labor, and other more consensus-driven collective working environments. However, abuses of power can occur in any organizational structure, treating customers rudely, making racist slurs, and passing over qualified women have per se nothing to do with actual bureaucracy. Inevitably, many feminist-driven organizations adopt a hybridized bureaucratic structure, embracing organized dissonance. This dissonance is caused by the conflict between hierarchy and consensus and requires continuous accommodation. Those higher in the hierarchy, leaders, mentors, coaches, use power in full awareness that their actions may be challenged by those lower in the hierarchy, followers, students, learners, without reprimand. This dissonance keeps power structures in check and abuses of power to a minimum. Importantly, feminist bureaucracy organizations are not bureaucracies in a classical sense because they are not guided purely by efficiency and productivity, but philosophically driven by the principles of strong community relations, equity and diversity, inclusion, empowerment and reciprocity, all through the tension of organized dissonance. Moreover, these organizational structures seek to reclaim emotion as part of rationality, as well as account for the private, since the denial of private matters often amounts to the devaluation of women and other racialized peoples. It is obvious that feminist-led bureaucracies place value in other forms of capital, like cultural, intellectual, social, in addition to material and financial. Obviously, budgets have to be met and people still need to get paid. But it is this acknowledgement of the value of other forms of capital that make feminist-led bureaucracies appealing for organizations like public libraries. As public libraries and other institutions are cultural reproductions of social relations, they must work to identify and eradicate modes of oppression and exclusion for the betterment of society, all while maximizing human well-being and livelihood. The importance of libraries for social and cultural capital has too often been overlooked in this matter. By truly embracing the tenets of feminist bureaucracies, like intersectionality, consensus, empowerment, dissonance, etc., public libraries and their informed staff are more able to positively engage with their immediate and extended communities and patrons and hopefully prevent the erosion into for-profit institutions.